How are you guys doing? Welcome over here. This episode is sponsored by Upside. I am actually currently on my honeymoon. Yes, day one of the honeymoon. I'm doing an episode for you guys. I told you guys I would be doing them, and that's why the backdrop looks a little bit different. If you guys are new to the channel, this is not normal, but I'm going to throw this out there. What I was expecting with the whole Chinese-Taiwan tensions, they have actually came down a ton. They're literally housing crisis is a real thing and has dropped for the last 11 months straight, causing a bit of an issue inside their market as a whole. Like, I don't see any country wishing for a war when they're having an economic struggle like they are, like at home. Like, this is going to pass. I'm telling you guys right now, and the world's going to go back to being focused on Ukraine once again. If you guys did not know, Russian State TV actually had Steven Seagal on their program. And yes, for all of y'all living in America, I am talking about the one and only Steven Seagal, like, yes, the actor. He apparently is inside of Ukraine filming a documentary on how bad the West is and how Ukrainians are apparently killing their own using HIMARS. Like, I'm going to go ahead and play a very short segment from a 10-minute clip that I did not like. It was a piece. I don't want to play near the entire thing because it's somewhat, it's irritating to hear him talk because the Russians are going over, they're talking over the top of him. He's wearing like some weird outfit. I don't know. I don't know what happened to this guy. Very strange. Now, can we all just take a second to understand something here? The Russian government is literally using Steven Seagal as their expert in BDAs, like battle damage assessments, and the HIMARS. Yes, the actor. He literally said he was 1,000,000,000% sure it was a HIMARS strike because he's seen so many of them. He's seen HIMARS debris before. Like, is he trying to, like, anybody with a half brain could literally figure this out. It's twisted metal, which could be caused from multiple different things, like explosions, for one. Like, he's talking about the area inside the Azov prisoners where they were killed last week. Russia was claiming that they were actually taken out by HIMARS, and they when in fact, that's come on. Do you guys really believe that Ukrainians are going to want to kill their own men that are sitting inside of a prison camp? Like, he's literally making a documentary on this. Like, that's the goofiest thing ever. Steven Seagal is inside of Ukraine making it, what is this world coming to? And he's now the main guy that they're going to, the Russians are going to get their high, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. And you guys remember a few days back when the Ukrainians hit the Russians fairly deep inside of Crimea? Well, since then, a Ukrainian official did come out and he was saying that it was done by Ukrainian soft working deep behind enemy lines. And I said it was honestly probably not true. Like, I said this, and it was likely done by HIMARS. Makes a little bit more sense. Well, it seems this has became, like, apparently a controversial topic within Ukrainian community, I guess you would say. They're claiming it's done by SOF using C4. Okay, I'm going to go and stick to my guns here and say I still believe it's done by HIMARS, even though both sides, for some reason, are really bickering. So I know I'm not sitting in Ukraine watching this go down, and neither are the people that actually claim this, because I'm currently sitting in my honeymoon right now making these crusty episodes, so I'm fairly invested in this war a bit more than most. But I'm going to go over a couple details here since it's pretty obvious. But the attack was carried out in broad daylight on a weekday in the morning, and it's going to take about a ton of C4 literally to pull this thing off. Like, I saw a few that would not be bringing in this much C4, for one, to take out airplanes, and or just to leave a massive crater, in which, by the way, those craters were roughly 10 meters wide. That takes roughly 500 pounds of C4 to do. It literally would take roughly 2 pounds of C4, by the way, to be thrown into the cockpits, not just randomly tossed throughout the airfield to make these craters. Like, the thing here is, if it was carried out by men on the ground, the consistency of if each plane's damage would be roughly about the same, and not being like super random like it is. And each one would be destroyed. Like, some were actually destroyed, some were fine. I'm not trying to downplay, by the way, what the Ukrainian military has done. But if I see something that isn't true, and somebody's trying to push an agenda, I'm going to at least say something about it. You know, I got to keep my validity on the subject pretty, I don't want it to get shot. You know what I mean? It's just got to be honest. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Just wanted to touch on it. Now, just a week ago or so, Russian journalists, now this one is kind of ironic anyway, they thought it would be a good idea to publish photos of the Wagner Group headquarters in Popasna. We got it. Anyway, this is it had a sign on it which literally included like the building's address. Well, that building was actually geolocated and hit today by a Ukrainian strike. I'm clearly not going to show the images here on YouTube because the video would actually get taken down, but they are all over the internet. So if you do find it, something that's you're gonna get excited about and you want to go see it, you can go. They're not too difficult to be found. They're not like too bad, but I have also confirmed this to be true because it came from a Russian as well. I saw it on the Russian side of things. And they're, of course, saying that the casualty numbers are not out yet, but the Ukrainians joy is greatly exaggerated. So that is something to take note of. So for everybody that has been cringing at the pump to get an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anybody who buys gas, groceries, and dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. Tony, my big thing, I use it when I'm going to a gas station. Like, I want to be paid for buying stuff I have to buy, like gas. Like, it's a no-brainer. What do I plan to do with the cash back? Probably buy fishing lures. That's pretty much what it's going to, that's what I do. Okay, I love to fish when I'm not making these videos. And to get started, all you got to do is download the Upside app for free. Use my promo code STTPODCAST, that is STTPODCAST, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. I'm telling you guys right now, check it out. It'll be linked at the very top of the description. All you got to do is pay with your normal credit and debit card, and you get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards and loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. Yes, they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. $1 million a week. Why would you guys want to miss out on this? Click the link at the very top of the description. Go download it. You can download it for free and use the promo code STTPODCAST to get $5 or more cash back on your very first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your very first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code STTPODCAST. It'll be linked at the very top of the description for everybody over on YouTube. And so you guys remember that at the beginning of this special military operation when Putin said that he was just going to go over and get rid of the Nazis, you know, within Ukraine. That's what he was talking about. Well, it seems like his talking pieces are now finally coming out with the honest truth about what their plans are and why they need to accomplish them. So as you guys just noticed, they have said that, well, this thing is somewhat of an idea we've all known from the first place. Rich mineral deposits and good farming lands of what's inside of Ukraine. And they want to pull this under the Russian Federation. He also claims that Ukraine is going to somehow turn the area into a nuclear wasteland. You guys remember the other day we talked about this, the Zaporizhzhia, that big power plant? Well, Zelensky did come out and actually state that they were going to be targeting the Russian troops in and around their power plant because they wanted to basically warn them that they're not safe there. But in the end, the commander of the Russian military in the area, like inside that power plant area, he publicly stated that it will either be Russian land or this area will become a desert after literally rigging the entire plant, yes, the nuclear plant, with mines. So the Battle of Bakhmut is actually very inevitable, and it's going to be coming here very soon. I do believe so. Now, when I mean like soon, I'm talking about a week to 2 weeks to a month. The Russians are making very, very slow progress, but they're getting very close to the eastern side of the city, which we'll talk about here in a second. There's been no real movement to speak of inside of Kharkiv itself, or really Izium for that matter. Russian forces have claimed they've taken Udi, but I haven't been able to confirm it, so I'm not going to actually annotate it. We'll see what comes of it. If anybody knows where Udi is at, that's up here on the northern side, right there. This area has been heavily contested. They've been attacking it just about every day for the last month or so without any success, so I think it's highly doubtful. Now, Russian element did attempt to push down through Dolnya, so we're going to shift down here a little bit south. Izium itself has been fairly quiet. The whole western side of this front, nothing's happened, okay? Nothing to speak of. Now, Russian element's the one I'm talking about. Dolnya is right here, okay? Now, they've been trying to push back there, and they've actually, I think it's about a week or so, they haven't been able to do anything. They've been forced to retreat every single time. I actually believe there's a Russian soft unit that's causing a little bit of issues behind the enemy, I guess the Russians, behind their line inside of Izium. Now, they have lost a little bit of ground outside of Dolnya once again. One of the reasons why I believe they could also be somewhat stalled out inside this area is the fact that it takes so long for supplies to actually reach this area, and the routes leading in have been extremely disrupted by those soft units I've been talking about. They're working behind the lines. Now, there's this one area right here that's been causing most of the issues. For one, they can target these routes, as we know. I've said this multiple times. That's the reason why I think Izium has really, really, really stalled out. And they've shifted a lot of their stuff over to now Kherson, which we'll talk about here in a second. Kherson in the eastern side. Now, I'm going to shift more east here. Spirn, okay? Spirn is now under the Russian control, which is right here, okay? This is pretty much the only advancement that's happened on the eastern side of the country as of right now. Bakhmut is coming, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to shift a little bit south here. So shifting south is where the major battle for Bakhmut is going to be taking place here very soon. The Ukrainians have put up a very stout defensive line along that southern side of the city, like coming out of the city. They've held off the Russians for like the last week or so. If you guys are new, this is the line I'm talking about. All the way through here, no movement whatsoever. One of the troublesome areas for the Ukrainians as of right now It's coming out of the south, I guess, southeastern side of Bakhmut. This is really the area where the Russians have been able to gain ground, and it's going to be coming out of Pavrovsky, which is on the western, I guess, coming out of Pavrovsky, going west towards Bakhmut. Like, the city will probably be one of the toughest battles for the Russians due to the terrain. Like, I know we talked about that many times, the rolling hills, the main portion of the city is actually nestled on the side of the ridgelines, which is clearly going to be controlled, as of right now, by the Ukrainian military. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, I will go ahead and show you guys. You guys see these little sandwich things I made right here? Those are all the ridgelines going in and out of Bakhmut. Those areas are going to be controlled by Ukrainians. Now, the Russians are starting to really ramp up their offensive south of Bakhmut, which is really an area we haven't seen a lot of major battles taking place since the beginning of this war. But the last week or so, has been fairly brutal. Now, shifting out of Bakhmut, coming south, we got Avdiivka, we got Pisky. Right now, 80% of Pisky is now controlled by the Russians. They have even started to pick up their activity on the southern front, which is literally something that's been stale over the last 2 months. When I mean southern, I'm talking about this entire line. All the way through here, they've been starting to actually be a bit more active. They are hitting the Ukrainians right now pretty hard on the northern side of Avdiivka right through here. It's getting, this whole area is getting pretty hairy. Like, I don't, when I keep looking at the map like this, there's certain areas the Russians like start ramping up and then they start doing pretty well. And then it's been slowing down. So as you guys can look at my map, you guys see all these little tiny blocks. These are literally like different episodes that the Russians have taken like ground. And you could tell that entire northeastern side, it took them quite a long time to gain that chunk. And they've been stalled out for the last like 3 weeks there. We're going to move over to Kherson. As you can tell, Kherson front, entirely different area. If you guys are new, it's probably one of the more interesting ones. And honestly, it's starting to shift in Ukrainian favor as of right now. The Ukrainian forces down around Kherson have continued to distract and disrupt logistical routes and the supplies of the Russian forces. They have once again struck the bridge. Yes, they struck the bridge once again. Right here. This is the one I'm talking about. All right. This is a pretty big deal. This is a Nova Kakhovka, which was recently just targeted just the other day, but it's now unusable by heavy vehicles. The UK Defense Ministry has also stated that Russians have now no bridges. Yes, no bridges usable to bring heavy equipment or supplies over. And it's going to be, they're going to have to rely on that weird kind of like makeshift pontoon ferry that they currently have set up, which is actually going to be just outside of Kherson. It's roughly running between the two bridges that are already blown. The real question here that the Russians should be asking themselves is, what are they going to do if the Ukrainian offensive in the southern region actually happens? Because it actually seems like it's somewhat feasible. All along this main routes that are leading in, the Russians have been setting up pretty heavily fortified positions on all the choke points, I guess you would say, coming into the city. They have been. They've been noted to actually be setting up supplies in these areas that are prepped and ready for the advancement that's coming. How are they going to resupply their forces with ammunition, food, and water? Furthermore, how are they going to get reinforcements into the casualties? Like, they're going to sustain casualties. How are they going to get them in there? Like, I'm very curious how this area is going to pan out, because as of right now, I could see this lasting through the winter currently. Like, I really could. And in Kherson, and it would better suit the Ukrainians right now if it actually was wintertime, just to be getting supplies in. And it would be much more difficult. Think about it. The morale of the men for the Russian side would be even lower. Now, Ukrainian intel is actually just suggesting, like right now, the 42nd Combined Arms Army, which is the Russian element that's inside this area, is already experiencing a shortage on food, water, and equipment. Okay? Now, if we see an uptick in abandoned vehicles and reports that Russians are looting even more inside the area, we'll know that this is going to be true. And I would expect to see even more things come out over the next week or so, because it's very apparent that Russians cannot stop the HIMARS in the area, because the Russians actually fired numerous surface-to-air missiles after this HIMARS rounds were actually coming in to strike that bridge that they went after, and they were clearly unsuccessful because the rounds actually hit the bridge. So, Kherson, every day is evolving. Give it another week or so. This is going to be start becoming very apparent if they're struggling, if we start seeing those abandoned vehicles near the front lines, or if they start taking more POWs in this area. Also, I think with this whole southern side, this starting to actually come to like active, I think a lot has to do with it with trying to push the HIMARS farther back north. I really do believe so. That's why they're having to actually start be active in this area, because beforehand, they never had to be. So that's one thing to keep note of. I do love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. I will catch you guys in another episode here later on the week. I'm going to go enjoy some time with my new wife. I'm out of here. I love you guys. I'm out.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.